Movie buff specialist Phil and John are back for what is essentially a midnight screening for me. My goodness gracious. Here we are, almost 11 p.m. on a Wednesday night. Thank anybody who's listening for staying up late on a school night. Appreciate it. Guardians of the Galaxy and The Creator tonight. John with some hot takes about Guardians of the Galaxy. It's the first time I've watched this movie, so I have some pretty freezing cold takes, because any take you have on a movie you haven't seen in 9 years that everybody else in the world has seen, it's going to be cold. And The Creator, the new movie from Gareth Edwards, that is stars John David Washington and is science fiction. And there's things and there's stuff and the stuff goes boom. And that's what happens. So we're going to be breaking down these two movies. John, it's spooky season. We both put together our favorite horror movies lists. I want to talk about those briefly, because I don't really want to talk about The Creator that long.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Let's do it. I'm all in.
You have a top 100.
I do have a top
100. Get a life.
Well, I was prompted to do a top 100, I guess about 6 months ago, by a friend. And it's just awesome. I love it so much. Like, honestly, horror is, we've been through this with my top 100. Horror is one of my favorite genres. I've watched like 4 horror movies in the last 2 days. Because it's spooky season, I have to watch as many horror movies as possible. I mean, the top of my horror list, pretty straightforward, because it kind of mirrors my top 100. The few exceptions being they're like movies I had seen past when we created our first top 100s. Things like Kurosawa's Pulse, which I think is just one of the greatest horror movies ever made. If you haven't seen it, watch it. Don't watch the American remake. Very different movies. Go watch the original Japanese movie and be incredibly depressed, like you should be when you watch a horror movie.
Yeah, I made a few changes to my list. I officially moved 7 out of my top 100. Not official. Okay, it's not official until I remake it. But I did put The Thing and The Descent above it. And now that I'm looking at it, I am actually going to have The Thing above The Descent. I need to, I need to get my crap together here. But, yeah, it was fun to put this together, because I think what's fun about horror, and when we get into, horror movie season, what do you consider a horror movie? You know, that's a serious question that people ask, because anything can be considered a horror movie if it scares you.
Yep.
And for me, the one movie that's definitely not a horror movie, but I think is this one of the scariest movies ever made, is Requiem for a Dream. I have that as my number 12 on this list. Not classified as a horror. It's definitely just a drama that's, disgusting. I don't really know what else you would say, but I have it on here as a horror. I have it right up there in front of The Blair Witch Project and The House of the Devil and The Orphanage, which are all definitely horror movies. But yeah, I have Inland Empire on here. I think Inland Empire is an absolutely terrifying movie. And I put the Cloverfield movies on here, because I think the Cloverfield movies are great. And I think they are psychological horror, or whatever type of horror you want to call it. I think the first Cloverfield is very obviously a horror science fiction movie, but 10 Cloverfield Lane, that could kind of go one way or the other.
I believe both of them are on my list, because 10 Cloverfield Lane is definitely a psychological horror. Like, the psychological thriller is kind of that horror genre that, like, it's that horror gray area where it's like, is this a horror movie? Is it not a horror movie? But more people tend to lean towards horror. And if you look at, like, classifications of movies on something like Letterboxd or IMDb, and it's classifying genres, they're classified as horror movies.
Yeah, because when I look at my list, what scares me more, Creature from the Black Lagoon or The Conjuring? Definitely The Conjuring, but I put The Creature from the Black Lagoon above it, because it's horror in its own way, and I like the movie more. So, yeah, it's tough with the classification, because I don't go based on, it just scared me the most. Like, The Lighthouse is a horror movie to me, even though I don't know if The Lighthouse actually is a horror movie, but it's scary.
No, I agree. It's on my list. And I think one of the most interesting things about the horror movie is, the top of the horror movie is very similar to my top 100 and, like, their placements in that. But the further down you get into my top 100, you start seeing these movies that I haven't rated as high as other movies that are below them. Because horror is one of those genres that really gets around the quality. It's like that quality to enjoyment paradigm is so different in a horror movie than any other genre. Whereas, say, a science fiction movie needs to, like, there has to be a high quality to make a science fiction movie, like, outstanding. I can watch something like Stephen King's Maximum Overdrive all the time, over and over again. That is one of the worst movies ever made, but it is so fun and so great to watch. And I watch it, like, every 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, I have Frailty as my number 50 right now. And I don't know if you've ever seen Frailty, the Bill Paxton movie with Matthew McConaughey. That is such a damn entertaining movie. And I love that movie. And I just think it's so much fun to watch. But that's not a movie that's ever going to be considered anywhere near like my top 100 real movies. Mm-hmm. But I also for this, I had Let Me In and Let the Right One In. And I put Let Me In love Let the Right One In, which a lot of people disagree with. Also but I think those two movies are outstanding. I love that story.
Yeah, that's a good story.
But it's that time of year where all I say to everybody over and over again is please go watch It Follows, go watch The House of the Devil, and go watch The Orphanage. So three incredibly underrated horror movies that do not get brought up in the discussion the way that they should. They are so good. Slow burn horror. All of them are slow burn horror. You got to be into the slow burn. But that's my favorite genre of horror. So yeah, those are my three. And I say, go watch them, go watch them, go watch them, go watch them.
Honestly, like The House of the Devil, Phil suggested to me last year and I watched it and it instantly became one of my favorites. It's Ty West who's made a name for himself with X and Pearl. Like, go watch it. Ty West is just phenomenal. House of the Devil is just one. It's not the type of horror movie that you really think it is when you start watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the slow burn, man. It's the slow burn, and it's super stylized, and that's what makes it fun. And yeah, It Follows, so stylized. And The Orphanage is just, I don't think anybody talks about that movie, and it is so incredibly well made. I just love J.A. Bayona. So
that's one that's been on my list for so long, and I just never sat down to watch it.
Yeah, it's another one of those old school style. And J.A. Bayona is one of the most underrated directors out there. I mean, a lot of you know him from the Jurassic World movie, but The Impossible and The Orphanage. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are two of my favorites. So love it. All right, let's get into the matter at hand.
Yeah.
And let's begin with the creator. And I wanted so bad to like this movie. Yep. I wanted it. So bad. I was praying I was going to like it. And this is how quickly this movie lost me. As soon as he says on the phone, remember anybody, if you're listening, we spoil. As soon as he says on the phone, I'm undercover. And he's screaming it at the top of his lungs. I was like, this is going to be lazy, nonsensical sci-fi.
Yeah.
And it looked gorgeous. Well done to the special effects team. Well done to the cinematographer. Congratulations. Especially
considering the budget of this film.
Well, what I was going to say is congratulations on having all of the budget. Because clearly they forgot about everything else involved with this movie. This screenplay is nonsense. There's nothing there. I still am just not impressed with Gareth Edwards' direction. No. I don't think he's that good of a director. Like, He gets these huge actors. He gets the big budgets, kind of whatever this one is, and he gets what should be high concept, good stuff, and it just doesn't hit. It just doesn't hit.
Well, no, and I mean to be fair, he did write this movie, which explains why he got it. But I think like Gareth Edwards kind of had this like. He had this trajectory where he had the Godzilla film, which wasn't terrible. Was it good? No, but it wasn't horrible. And then he got Rogue One for some reason. And people love that movie.
Also, you skipped over Monsters.
I never saw
You skipped Monsters. Over Monsters, which was kind of a cult hit back in 2010 with Scoot McNairy.
Right. I never saw it.
Yeah, but that was really like why, like, oh, we care about him.
Why, sir? You know? Yeah. And then you got Rogue One, and Rogue One was praised by a lot of people. That movie sucks, but that's beside the point. I don't like Rogue One. I don't like it because, and like watching the creator reminded me why I don't like Rogue One. It's so uninspired. Like the direction is so uninspired the entire time. There is no shot that just like makes you like, bow down in awe of what's going on, despite how beautiful the creator is as a film and how great it looks. I really enjoyed the character design in this movie. I thought like the robots and the robots with human skin on their face, the simulants, that was what they were called, Sims, right?
Yeah.
I thought they looked great. They had this unique flair to them that made them stand out amongst the human characters. And they looked fantastic. And there was never a shot that like just had me in awe. And I just like, that's what Gareth Edwards is to me. Gareth Edwards is just like this bland director who gets handed these projects that in a good director's hand would be amazing.
See, my biggest problem with this movie is the story is so uninspired. Yes. There was nothing in this movie to push the sci-fi genre forward. There was nothing to make me think about the greater picture. This was iRobot. You know what I mean? Like this isn't some massive story that we've never seen before. This is AI, artificial intelligence. You know, this is, we've seen this story so much of AI. Is it human? Can it become human? You know, and now we're at war with it. I mean, that's what the whole premise of the Terminator is, right? Like, you see this over and over again, and there was nothing in this that made it unique to me. There was nothing in it that made it stand out from other AI-type movies. They're going to war, and he falls in love with who his mother or something. It felt like it wanted to be whatever his name is for Ex Machina. Come on, director name.
Why am I blanking on this all of a sudden?
Oh, no.
Alex Garland.
Alex Garland. I wanted to be Alex Garland, and it settled for not even close.
No.
Not even remotely close. Like, it was a frustrating watch. And then at the end of the movie, when they start doing the montage, and I thought it was actually going to be the end of the movie, about them going to the moon, I'm like, he's taking them away from Earth, and that's going to be it. Like, he's going to take them away, and, like, that's going to be the end of the movie. He wasn't able to succeed. You get that darkness. And instead, it's just a montage of them going to the moon, taking over the plane, getting in there, getting onto whatever the thing is called, and attacking, and blowing it up and destroying it. The plan is never laid out. We never once actually realized that the moon is someplace we can go. It is just talked about.
It's all of a sudden there. Yeah.
All of a sudden there. It's so lazy. And it felt like it was, hey, we don't have a third act for this movie, so hurry up and just throw something together. How did we get there? There was no reason for us to be there. How? And then we're just supposed to believe that he had all the knowledge that he needed to just pretty much like hijack a plane and bring the plane here and do what he needs to do and dock it and everything. There's no buildup to that. There's nothing that tells us that this is a possibility in this world. And then it just happens. And then that's how it ends. And I don't care about anything that happens after that. I just don't care.
And that's where this movie ultimately fails is just plot point, and it doesn't care about filling in the gaps. Even the bigger plot points in this movie don't make sense. There's a point, like in the literal opening minutes of this movie, they say, hey, the robots bombed, like they nuked LA. That's why we're at war with them. There's a passing line of dialogue that says, yeah, that wasn't the robots, that was the humans.
Yeah.
That's it. That is the entire, like, it doesn't go anywhere. It's not built on that the humans aren't even presented as the bad guys in this movie. Right? Like, it's just, it makes no sense because it doesn't go anywhere. Our villain is, what's her face?
A terrible Allison Janney.
Yeah, terrible Allison Janney.
Terrible.
Absolutely horrible. And, like, makes no sense because there's no connection to this world. There's no, like, personal connection, vendetta against these robots or anything like that. And the worst part, I think the absolute worst part about this movie and why this movie sucks so much, and again, like, it's not a terrible movie, it's just not a good movie, but it's
because, it is the most meh movie you're ever gonna watch.
Yes, it's because Joshua, the protagonist of this movie, the entire reason he's doing anything is because he thinks his wife's alive.
Yeah.
And it is the worst motivation for a protagonist in a science fiction movie I have ever seen.
Well, and also what makes it so bad is that we see them be like, no, this could just be her likeness because all the other robots are using likenesses. Yes. So what are we talking about? Like, why do we have to spend, why do we care about his journey? And then when it turns out that his wife is mother, and at the end, like when she blew up, she was now whatever, and she was the creator because she was ready. There's no reasoning behind any of it. It feels so half-assedly put together. I keep saying the word half-ass, but it felt so half-assedly put together. And it was, oh, there's your cool sci-fi moment. Well, why is that a cool sci-fi moment?
Is it a sci-fi moment? I want to challenge the fact that I don't even think, other than the futuristic setting of this movie is not a science fiction movie, because it doesn't deal with anything a science fiction movie needs to deal with. A science fiction movie has to be investigating humanity. It has to be looking at ourselves.
It's trying to. It's just not doing it
but
well.
It's not. I don't think it is trying
to. But it is because it's trying to say the artificial intelligence is human.
Right.
And they want to kill the robots.
So what you're saying is we have a pro artificial intelligence movie coming out during the middle of a SAG-AFTRA strike that is built on the fact that we don't want AI infiltrating films.
That was actually my biggest complaint with the movie, honestly, is that I didn't feel like they were the proper underdogs they were supposed to be. And just because you made it a child does not mean that I'm going to sympathize. I didn't sympathize with the AI, so I didn't care. So the whole time I said to myself, what do I care about? I don't necessarily want him to win. I think I'd rather see the humans win because Allison Janney might be mean or whatever she's supposed to be. You know, she walks around all tough and strong. Like, who cares? But other than her,
these human characters are just
good people. Pretty,
yeah, like completely, right? Like there was not a single, there wasn't even like the big military guy didn't seem like that bad of a guy.
No. And like the guy who dies in the back of the car, he didn't seem like that bad of a guy. So I kind of felt like Joshua was the bad guy in this movie, but he's really the protagonist. Yeah. And I didn't care about his motivation. Because I felt like his wife also wasn't really the good person in this movie. All around just didn't work.
I think the problem is it seems really cliche to say this, but I think the problem is Joshua did not have a disdainment for AI that was overcome in the story.
Exactly.
And like so cliche because that is every robot movie ever. That's iRobot, that's Blade Runner, that's everything, right? But because we didn't have that, there's no way for us to connect. There's no human emotion here. Like he gets Alfie, and we're supposed to like care. And like it's revealed Alfie is based off of his unborn child.
Yeah,
and you don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, and. Yeah, the questions aren't heady enough. The way it's set up isn't enough. And I agree with you. At the beginning of this movie, it's not the AI that kills his wife. It's the humans that kill his wife. So, of course, he's going to be on team AI. That's what we're led to believe, and that's what he is. Okay. And we're told early, the AI blew up your family in LA. But then we're told very quickly in the movie, it actually was the humans. It was a mistake by them.
Never addressed again. How is that not addressed again?
I know. And it's like he should be so clear in his motivation of I hate AI because they killed my family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not clear.
Yeah. And I get it. Like you're trying to avoid those cliches, but those cliches are what give us those heady thoughts of is AI a bad thing or is it a good thing? Like what can it do? And especially as like you give us this opening montage of AI, you know, working jobs and doing all these things that humans don't need to do anymore. And like, you're showing why AI can be good. And then you're like, oh yeah, but they nuked LA and they started this war. And then through the entire movie, we just have AI being like, yo, we don't want to fight.
Yeah.
Like they're all just pacifists.
To me, this felt like a student script almost. It felt like a college, like an undergrad script that has ideas that are good, but hasn't figured out how to put it all together yet and really find what theme it's trying to go with and what characters and what it's trying to say and all that. And somehow it got an $80 million budget. And I'll tell you what, this movie is a box office disaster.
Million this week?
14 million in domestic box office. 32 million worldwide, but you need to make back your money at the domestic and then worry about worldwide. This movie is not a success by any means. It has made $35 million to date on an $80 million budget. That's $35 million worldwide total. It was, not only did it lose to Paw Patrol, the Mighty Movie, it lost to Saw 10 as well.
The 10th installment.
The 10th installment didn't beat Paw Patrol, the Mighty Movie. This was not a bad box office. At $54 million, yeah, we just came off of Barbie and all of that, but $54 million during football season in the U.S. and all that is not a bad box office.
No.
It got 14 of that on its opening weekend.
It's so bad.
And it's the director of Rogue One.
Yeah.
We're over it. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm over John David Washington.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm over him.
He dialed it in this movie. He gave us nothing.
He was, in my opinion, phenomenal in Black Klansman. I have not seen him good in another movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I mean, the Tenet, what's he supposed to do? I mean, that movie was just bad all around. It was just such a nightmare. But the creator, that, I didn't see Amsterdam. Maybe Malcolm and Marie is good. I don't see myself ever watching Malcolm and Marie, though, because I just don't like John David Washington. I don't. And I really liked him in Ballers when he was in that. Mm-hmm. I thought he was a lot of fun in Ballers, but he's just, I don't know. I just don't think he has it. So that's what I have to say about that.
I agree. And it's such a shame because, like, it's a shame to say that about an actor. But the problem is like the project he's being picked up for aren't good.
Yeah.
And like, if you're not getting into good projects, how are people supposed to like you as an actor?
Well, that's what confuses me. Why is he the bad science fiction guy right now?
I don't know.
Black Klansman was great. So why isn't he getting more roles like Black Klansman? Why is he getting bad science fiction?
I don't know. That's a good question. Don't we have other bad science fiction actors out there?
There's plenty. Like, that's what I don't get. So, I don't know. The creator, for me, is a pass. Don't need to watch it. Never watch it again. I don't recommend to anybody.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but it wasn't good.
I actually had higher expectations. I thought it was going to be good. I luckily saw it after I saw it. Yeah, I thought it was going to be a three-star movie all the way, and it certainly was not. It should be.
In all honesty, it's a massive it should be a sci-fi epic coming out a weekend where there's nothing else coming out. It's been a couple of weeks since we've had anything really come out. This should have been a slam dunk movie. Instead, it's confusing. There is an absurd amount of montage in this movie.
Absurd.
Yeah. And like, it doesn't help with the narrative at all.
No. And I appreciate that the movie was only 2 hours and 13 minutes instead of 3 hours, but I felt
the movie could use an extra half hour just to like give us some character.
Yeah.
Because it didn't.
They could have managed to find where to put the character in the 2 hours and 13 minutes we were watching.
That is also true.
Yeah.
I have one major question that's bugging me so much. So we have this like military weapon. That's like maybe in space, maybe not in space. Very unclear in the movie. They never explain why they can't just bomb the shit out of it.
I know.
I'm just like,
it's never addressed why we can't just shoot like a nuclear missile at it or some whatever right? those are called, the rocket that you launch.
Just like a surface to air missile. Like
Scud.
All it would take, right?
Yeah.
It just makes no sense. Like, again, it's just like there are these ideas here, but there's no execution to make it so that they make sense. And because of that, you're left sitting in the movie. I spent probably 75% of this movie trying to think of the word singularity.
I love it.
Like, that's how much I was like invested in this movie. Is that all I was trying to think of is what is that word for that time when like AI exceeds human thinking? And I spent 75% of this movie doing that.
Well, I'm glad you got there, John.
I will admit, I Googled it afterwards.
You didn't get there. Okay, good, good. So this was a pure frustrating watch for you.
It was.
Well, let's move on past it because I didn't like it. We talked about Bottoms last week. We really enjoyed that. We've talked about A Haunting in Venice. Those are more worth your time. Saw 10, $13 million budget, made $18 million opening weekend. It's already a success, and it's just going to keep being a success because now we're getting closer and closer to Halloween. Although in 2 days or tomorrow, really, and maybe in 49 minutes is the day that it becomes available. The Exorcist the Believer comes out. So we are going to start to see horror movies a little bit more, and then we see the horror movie that is the Eras Tour. So that will be scary. But The Exorcist the Believer has absolutely god-awful reviews, which I am not surprised about at all. I'm just going to say that now. I'm not surprised, but I'm still going to go watch it because you know what? Why not? What else are we going to do? So it's horror season. The creator is about to just disappear. That movie is in a lot of trouble. The Eras Tour is going to steal it all. Whatever The Exorcist, The Believer, and Saw 10 don't take from it, The Eras Tour will wipe completely clean. So
I'm honestly terrified for this Eras Tour movie because yesterday when I went to the movie theater, they had a sign saying that showtimes are listed for the next 5 weeks.
It's crazy.
I am scared for every movie that is coming out in the next month.
Dude, I'm going to say this, and we're about to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. So for the people who are watching, it's coming. But I'm going to say this. Taylor Swift is a really good person. So I had a friend who died, and she was very kind to his brother. So amazing person. Like, he was a huge Taylor Swift fan. This was years and years ago. So, like, just I'm going to preface with that.
Yeah.
So over this shit. I'm so over it. Like, I get it. You like Taylor Swift. That makes you so interesting. Awesome. Like, that's not an identity. That's not who you are as a person. Like, give me a break. And I'm all about loving the musicians you love and doing, like, loving the movies you love, loving the shows you love, having the hobbies that you obsess over. I am all about that. But my God, it has gotten so out of hand. And this does not make you, like, interesting because you obsess it because you're going to go all 5 weeks to see the Eras Tour. Give me a break.
I'm so interested to see how this works. I'm really interested to see the trajectory of this because I know the first weekend's completely sold out. I get that. I'm interested to see the following 4 weeks because we have concert movies. I mean, I don't know about you down there. I have concert movies pop up here all the time. I get like K-pop concerts and stuff in the theaters and stuff like that. It's like a one-night engagement. Mm-hmm. I don't know if a film like that can sustain 5 weeks. But maybe this one can.
Yeah, I think this is a fad. I think this will be over shortly. I think right now it's, you know, it's the cultural moment. She's dating Travis Kelce, so she's in the NFL. The Eras Tour was huge. It was kind of something that the world might have needed post-COVID, but at the same time, we get it. It's over. Let's move on. Yep. So let's really move on. Let's talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. Yes. This was my first experience with it. John doesn't like it. You know, it's funny because now I'm going to have to sit here, and this is what makes me sick, right? This makes me sick. I'm going to have to sit here and defend a Marvel movie. Give me a break, John. Stop. Stop. You're not allowed to be the guy who doesn't like these movies. I'm the guy who doesn't like these movies. I will say this. This movie is so insanely overrated. It is incredible. Yes. But I still, and maybe it's just because of the time I watched it like Sunday morning. I was about to have a good fantasy football week. The Lions had already won on Thursday. Like, I didn't have to worry about bad things happening to me on Sunday. I was able to enjoy this movie. I was into the style, the whatever, you know, honestly, for me, Dave Bautista is the reason I love this movie. And by love it, I mean, I gave it 3 stars. If Dave Bautista was the main character, I'd probably give it 4 because I could have sat there and just listened to all the stupid drag stuff and been totally fine with it. It's a very basic action movie, but it's an action movie that I find works. And like, it actually starts to, I don't know, tell the story that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is trying to tell. Like, it only took them 10 movies.
Yeah, okay. It has that going for them. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been a big Guardians of the Galaxy fan, and I know a lot of people love these movies. I know they are a lot of people's favorite Marvel movies. They have good moments. 100% agree. As a whole, this movie just doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe it's because I'm like evaluating it as a science fiction movie, which is definitely not. And like, let's get that out of the way right away. This is not a science fiction movie. This is a superhero movie. And it feels that
way. I think it's just an action movie, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
A ragtag gang of bandits get together to save whatever. Like, that's really all it is. It's just an action
movie. Yeah, but it's not like a fun ragtag group of... It's not like Seven Samurai, right? Like...
Okay, wait, hold on. Time out. You can't say fun and then say Seven Samurai, John. That doesn't... That's not going to work here, okay? You can't sit here and tell me Seven Samurai is more fun... Fun is not the word that you can use to compare Seven Samurai to Guardians of the Galaxy. And for anybody listening, I do not condone that statement. And I think the first time I've ever shut John down and left him laughing at himself right there.
But you know what I mean? Like, we're not getting that type of like level of these characters in this. We're getting some caricatures for the most part. I don't think any of these characters really ever get flushed out in this movie. Their working together is all circumstantial, and it isn't actually based on like character development at all and character relationships at all. It's just, hey, we all happen to be in prison together. And it's, again, like it kind of felt, and I watched this before I watched The Creator, so it's fine, but it kind of goes like plot point, plot point, plot point, plot point, with very tenuous connections leading from one to the other.
I 1000% agree with the opening of this movie. The first 30 minutes of how they get together is so weak.
Yeah.
And I think like after that, I'm into it. Cause I do think, yeah, I get it. He's a tree. He's a raccoon. She's green. He's a big scary guy, whatever the hell Drax is supposed to be. There's really nothing all that captivating about them beyond their surface level appearance and the fact that you kind of feel a little bit bad for Rocket because he's an experiment. But I enjoyed them together. And maybe it's also, it could also be the fact of I love Disney. The Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster at Disney World is incredible. The Tower of Terror remake out there in Hollywood is very good, but the roller coaster here is incredible. Like 10 out of 10, one of the best rides I've ever been on my life. Maybe the best ride I've ever been on my life. It's just fun. And it's fun for a bunch of different age groups and stuff, and not in like a kiddie way. But maybe that helped me just enjoy the fun of it. But I like the banter. I like the nonsense. Mm-hmm. I like what they go through and all of that. But to get them together, I couldn't believe that that's how the Guardians of the Galaxy came together. It is incredibly lazy and half-assed. There's another half-assed. Yeah. Anybody keep track?
Anyway, keep a track. It's just, I don't know. I just like, when I watch this movie, I'm just like, what's the point of these scenes that are happening, right? It's like the prison outbreak or the prison break, right? What's the point of this scene? Obviously, it's to get the Guardians out of prison. And it's kind of one of these only moments where we get this like character from Peter Quill and just like him going for the Walkman and everything like that, right? Like we get this character when we get that attachment. We kind of get that attachment though because we saw it at the beginning of the movie and we don't actually have a character moment for Peter in that moment where it's like, you know, this is a perfect time for character development and it's just kind of thrown off to the side. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not going to sit here and say that, wow, like these characters, man. And I think that's, again, I think what frustrates you probably most with Guardians of the Galaxy is the same thing that frustrates me the most with the Marvel Cinematic Universe in general. We walk around and talk about these movies, like not we, people in general, just walk around and talk about these movies like the greatest things that have ever been made. This is a very, in my opinion, this is a very entertaining movie. I know, like, one of your big complaints is just so much CGI and things like that. And I don't disagree with that.
There's a lot of CGI.
Overabundance of CGI, random explosions and whatever. But it's a fun movie. I think it's well paced. I think it gets to the point. I think it's so fast paced to the point that they don't have a first act, you know, or the first act is just like, you know, hey, kid with, you know, it's that picture of the horse where half of it is like perfectly drawn and then the other half is like the child did it. Yeah. That's kind of what this movie felt like to me. I really liked the second and third act of this. I thought it was fun. And I think when I'm watching these movies, that's all I'm looking for. And I think that's why I was able to get on board with this movie. Mm-hmm. And again, like I said, I think I've been so frustrated throughout the entire nine movie buildup of they're trying to pretend that there's an overarching story and there isn't one. I finally started to hear names and things that matter, the Infinity Stones and Thanos. And it wasn't just put in a post-credit scene.
Yeah.
It actually was there for a reason and it actually impacted the story. We actually got to figure out who some of these characters were and who they were supposed to be and how they were connected to everybody. That's what's important about this. Like that to me is why I think I gave this 3 instead of 2.5.
Sure.
I put this as the third best of the Marvel movies to this point. That doesn't mean that I'm sitting here going, oh my God, I can't wait to go back and watch this movie again. That's not what that means at all. But you know, right now I have 4 that are 3 stars or better. And honestly, I could probably knock the first Iron Man down to 2.5. Because as I'm watching these, I'm realizing, the first Iron Man doesn't really do it for me the more and more I move myself away from it. So I don't know. To me, Captain America blows the rest of these away. It's still not even close. But this was entertaining. And I can't really ask for more from these movies because my expectations are so low. So when I'm entertained like I was, yeah, I'm on board with it.
Sure. I mean, and that is what these movies should be. And I mean, it's almost unfair for us to be critiquing them as like films overall. But like we also talked about superhero movies that are films. We talked about a superhero movie by this director in my top 100.
Yeah, that's true. Super is great. I mean, yeah.
And that's where I watch this movie. It's like, it's so Disneyfied again, right? Like it feels like again they have the right director here to make this work, but there's too much studio being like, no you can't do that. And we know that based on just like how the studio dealt with James Gunn multiple times.
Now what's the deal with Ronan the Accuser? I know that this is a weak villain and all of that, but honestly I haven't been that impressed with many of the villains, so to me I kind of just like brush that off my shoulder. What is the deal with this character? Because I feel like this was supposed to be so much more important than it was, and it just falls flat on its face. Is it because of Lee Pace, or is it because of... I don't get it.
I mean, Lee Pace is pretty terrible in this movie. I'll say it right out. Like, he is horrid in this movie. It is so... He's so boring. He does not bring anything to this character. It's supposed to be this menacing character, and he kind of just feels like he's there. And I think it's just as dirty for this being the first introduction of the Kree in the MCU. Because the Kree are this like big alien species in the Marvel universe that are an invasive force. Like they hunt the Skrulls, like they invade other planets and take their resources. The Kree is a big deal in Marvel. And this is our introduction to them. It's this singular character, no other Kree around at all, who's just like Thanos' lapdog.
Yeah. I was, and that's another thing I think that just excited me. I was so excited that Thanos was a character finally. So I did my Leo point. So I know that guy. That's something that's important. And, you know, especially we haven't seen him since what, the end of the Avengers, where they very briefly show him, even though they don't even name him or anything like that. So now we finally see him again, and it feels like, oh, you didn't forget about that random post-credit scene that was supposed to seem like a moment, you know, like keep thinking about that video where the guy goes, look, it's the nun. There it is. It wasn't there before, and now it's there. That's how I feel with Thanos. I guess for me, it was almost, and maybe this is because I haven't seen any of the movies after this except for Black Panther. It felt like purposeful. Which I can't really say for the other movies, because I was talking about it when we did Iron Man 3. You start to say to yourself, what's the point of this movie? Yeah. What do they do? Especially Thor the Dark World. I mean, what is the point of that movie? But this one felt like it was like if this movie came out right after the Avengers, I'd be saying that's a worthy sequel.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I get it. It's progressing the story, but when there's two movies in between, and then this three, one kind of is like the most important one. It's confusing. There's three movies in between. What one did I miss?
Captain America.
The one Captain America. That's right. Oh my God.
Yeah. No, I agree, because this is the point where, like, it's very clear we're now in the Infinity Saga, right? We have these. Mm-hmm. We get the story of the Infinity Stones. We know what they are now. They were name dropped in the post credit scene of Thor: The Dark World, and we knew that the Tesseract was one and the Aether is one, and now we know that this rock is one too, and we know that Thanos is looking for them? Question mark. We kind of know that.
Yeah, it's hinted at that this is going to be a thing that's important, but we don't really get all the information that we probably want about it.
Yeah, and we're just now at a point where we can kind of see a direction forming. It's weird that it happens in this team-up movie post-Avengers and not with one of the established characters we already know. It's weird that... Oh, just a second.
Hang in there, John. John's over there hacking up a lung, guys. I don't know what happened. He's went down the wrong pipe at one point tonight. I don't know what happened.
No, I actually traveled and got sick.
There you go.
Fun. But it's really funny. Actually, I don't want to go back on the fact that this is a team-up movie, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. We're getting a team of people together. Remember my complaint about the Avengers were that they were brought together and they didn't, like, organically come together?
Yeah.
We now have a team organically coming together, and it's awful.
Yeah.
It's an awful way to bring this team together. So maybe we're lucky that they didn't do that with the Avengers?
I don't know, because you know what the thing is, though? The Avengers should have felt more organic than it did, because really in the Avengers movie, it almost felt like they forgot that they had done the previous however many movies to bring them all together. That was really what the issue was there. With this one, I guess the thing with the intro to this, which this is not a defense, but this is more of just how I envision it. Maybe it's a little bit more of the comic booky style where you flip the page and all of a sudden you got the guys who are looking for money. So they just, you know, they got the gadget that lets them see, oh, this guy's worth something, while he's going after the same thing that she's going after and all of that. It's very, dare I say, John, half-assed. However, it does have a comic book feel to it, because you know, the you know, you have to think it's that one little tile with the one line of dialogue and the image that tells you the story. So maybe they were trying to keep it in that realm, and that's the best defense I can give for it. But I still sit here and say, meh. You know, like, meh. I mean, again, I'm giving this 3 stars.
Yeah.
But I'm giving this 3 stars with, you were talking about horror movies earlier. There's certain horror movies that are bad, but you keep watching because it is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm being very forgiving to this movie. Because it was a good Sunday morning. But
to be fair,
it does have a lot of flaws. and the big flaw is they all team up the way they team up, and then they work together throughout the entire movie. And by the time they hit the end of the movie, I don't feel like this is the ragtag crew that I'm supposed to feel like it is. I will say that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, because you don't really feel like there's anything really bonding them together still at the end of the movie. Because like they did the quest, now they can go their separate ways. Yeah, that's a good point. I think about this. I think this movie really does a lot to make it enjoyable. I think it does a lot to really play on nostalgia. I think the 80s soundtrack really helps with that. I think, like, it's
the soundtrack. Constructed.
The soundtrack is great. Like, there's no denying that. It's a fantastic soundtrack. It's one of the things that the Guardians movies are known for. And it has, I think the fact that it has, like, this humor to it, but it's not like the ham-fisted humor we saw in, like, Thor. And it's a lot, it feels like a lot more natural humor. You do have a character, like Drax, who just has the best one-liners in the entire MCU. Right? Like, something like, nothing gets over me. My reflexes are too fast. fantastic yeah. lines, so yeah. funny. But at the same time, it's just like everyone's trying to be the quippy person in this movie.
Yeah.
And like it gets a little much for me at times. And then there's just like you get to nowhere and you get to the point where Drax calls in Ronan and like, you know, it's supposed to be this learning thing of like Drax can't do everything by himself and like they have to band together in order to do anything. And Peter goes out and, you know, risks his life to save Gamora and everything. Mm-hmm. Gamora, who, you know, we know is a daughter of Thanos, really hasn't had her character developed at all at this point.
Yeah.
It's just, it feels like it moves too quickly.
I also
give you enough time to like saturate with these characters.
And I definitely had the feeling of what are the rules when he went out into just space in like his jacket and the mask and he starts to freeze kind of. I really had a question of what are the rules in this area that they are right now. And again, I'm watching a comic book movie, but I had that question. Mm-hmm. I do find this group interesting because all five of them, you're right, are trying to be, other than Groot. So four out of the five, because Groot doesn't talk. Four out of the five are definitely supposed to be the witty, funny banter person.
Yeah.
And that's tough. They all do it in a different way, but it does come off feeling very samey because Rocket and Drax both are the tempers, right? And Rocket just happens to be really good with gadgets, but they both are temper people. And then they have their blow ups in a witty way. You know, I don't know. I don't know. And Gamora is what Gamora is. I mean, Gamora, they could have done so much more with, but instead they just wanted it to be the love interest character. And that's really all it ends up being.
Oh, you're telling me the MCU squandered another female character?
I know. I didn't want to say it in so many words, but I mean, it's Star-Lord's movie. It's supposed to be his movie. It's supposed to, like, it's his arc. It's his beginning. It's his middle. It's his end. So they do tell his story. The problem is that part, like, it's Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay, so this is probably the best way to describe this, okay? I finally figured out the main flaw with this movie. I finally figured it out. Every other movie, Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, but it's still Captain America. Thor, War of the Dark World, you get where I'm going with this. The Incredible Hulk, don't forget that one. Don't you ever forget that one. The Avengers, okay, that's different. They all are part of that story. There is no real main character in the Avengers. Yeah. I think that's fair to say. There is no main character in the Avengers. They all are equally kind of in that movie. Thor, probably to the least, but, you know, whatever. The fact that this is Guardians of the Galaxy, but it is all about Peter Quill / Star-Lord, and he is the protagonist of this movie, it is a little weird. It almost feels like the movie should be called Star-Lord, right?
Yeah.
Because he is the one who this movie is about. And all of the other characters are helping him to achieve what he wants to ultimately achieve. He finds his family, you know, like it's all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the movie, it is very just thrown in. You were talking about one line throwaways, like in The Creator. His dad is actually whoever. Right? Yeah. Isn't his dad is not a human, so that's why he is whatever.
Is that said in this movie? I honestly forget.
Who is Star-Lord's dad?
No, that's gonna give you spoilers for future movies.
I don't care about the spoilers for different movies, but it is mentioned that he is not of Earth.
Yes. Essentially.
But it is just so thrown in at the end of the movie that I almost, what? And, you know, we see him lose his mother at the beginning. We see him get the tape, and that's why he cares about it. And it's all about him. So the fact that it's Guardians of the Galaxy, I almost think this movie, it tries to give enough screen time to everyone as the movie progresses, but I'm not worried about everybody else's storyline because Rocket and Groot don't have a storyline. They don't.
Yeah.
Drax doesn't have a storyline. Gamora has one, but that's because we know Thanos and Thanos the villain, and even though it's Ronan, whatever. But they almost try to give so much more to the other characters when it's not necessary. And it should have just been more focused on Star-Lord. And if it is more focused on Star-Lord, this movie becomes better, because then the side characters with their one-liners and things like that, it becomes more meaningful when they actually have those moments. But you're still not going to talk me out of Drax. Drax is great, and Drax does not get talked about.
I will never talk out of Drax. Drax is probably the best characters in these entire movies.
It's crazy that he doesn't get talked about more, though. I never even realized what that role was. He's great. Everybody starts about Rocket. And I mean, Rocket's fine. Bradley Cooper does a hell of a job with the voice acting there. But it's Drax.
Drax is just the best part of these movies by a lot, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know. And maybe it's just also I really don't like Chris Pratt as an actor.
Why?
So I just don't like him. I don't find him charming at all.
I like Chris Pratt.
I just don't find him charming.
So you don't
I enjoyed him in Parks and Rec, but like as the action hero, I just find it feels so out of place when he's acting.
John, answer my trap question. You don't like her?
Who?
Her. The movie.
I do like her.
Chris Pratt's in it. You can't like it. You don't like him.
That's not what I said. I said I don't like Chris Pratt as an action hero.
I'm here to troll. What, you tell me he's not an action hero in her? Give me a break, John. Have you even seen that movie?
Yeah, it's not like it's like 15 on my top 100 or anything.
You remember
like that
time where he shoots all the people? Okay. I like Chris Pratt. When people argue over who the best Chris is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that is the stupidest argument ever, though, because the only answer
is Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, whatever that was named. Chris Pine. What the hell?
Chris Pine is the Star Trek one.
Yeah, I'm looking at Hell or High Water right now, so don't worry about it. But it's Chris Evans. Like, it's not even close. It's not even close. It's not even close. The only reason that people like Chris Pratt in these movies is because the character's more interesting. That's it. Like, and it's only more interesting because he's edgier and whatever. And honestly, it's just different from what other superhero movie characters are like. He's a poorer version of Tony Stark, who has a lot more to lose, or whatever, however you want to phrase it. He's that. Do I agree? Like, am I sitting here saying, wow, he's Harrison Ford? No, he's not Harrison Ford. But I like him fine in the Jurassic World movies. He's working with absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I think he's fine. And, you know, I like him in the other movies where he has smaller roles, where he's not an action hero, like Zero Dark 30, Moneyball. Like, I like that. Her, I think he's a nice addition to her.
He was one of the baseball players in Moneyball.
He's one of the baseball players. Yeah, he's the first baseman, right? Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, so I like him as an actor. But again, it goes back to reality versus expectations, right? I feel like everybody who sits down and watches these Marvel movies needs to do that 500 Days of Summer scene of the reality versus the expectation, because the way that these movies get talked about, I mean, this is cinema, baby. Like, this is action at its finest. Star-Lord is the greatest action character, because back in the day, those characters you really were made. Indiana Jones really is that character. Luke Skywalker and Han Solo really are those characters. This isn't that. No. He's good enough. I like them. He's entertaining. I will say that I'm just grateful, because I know I'm not going to like Civil War because it's not really a Captain America movie. I'm just grateful that I enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy enough that I think I will enjoy Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And that might be all that carries me through for the remainder of this podcast, John.
At least Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is towards the end of it.
Yeah, when I start looking, though, at what's coming, and I just the trailer for the Marvels could be the worst cut trailer in the history of time. And if that movie is 10 times better than that trailer, it is still going to be one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life. I do not know how they cut that trailer together and how that is really what that movie is going to be.
We're a long ways away from that movie, though, so it's fine.
Terrible. Yeah, no, I know, but it worries me that that's where we're heading, John.
I know.
So, anyway.
Right. But there's another thing in this movie that really bugs me. And it's the Ravagers.
Oh, because, like, with Michael Rooker and stuff?
Yeah, like
Michael Rooker's great. Talked about.
Yeah, but I think it's a great concept. It's just like completely squandered in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, there are Ravagers out there. It's like, who cares?
Yeah, they're that B story of an action movie where, you know, they're just like the are they your enemies or are they your buddies? I disagree with. I actually kind of liked them because it felt like everything we'd seen from the classic action movies where that character was always there, you know, the enemy who's a buddy.
Sure. It makes sense that Michael Rooker would be playing that character.
It does make sense that Michael Rooker would be playing that character. It does.
So
it
does. Yeah, it makes sense.
But I mean, I do understand why you would feel differently. You know, it's not so good.
I just want like this movie to be fleshed out a little more. And I think at first watch, this movie feels like it is entertaining. I think I've just gotten to the point where I've watched it probably about 3 or 4 times now. And it just has really diminishing returns for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I actually do hear that a lot about this first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, is that the more you watch it, the worse it gets. Mm-hmm. So I probably won't revisit it. Yeah, sure. Or if I do, it'll be years from now. But do you have anything else you want to throw in here, John, about either of these movies?
I don't think so. I don't know. I'm kind of glad we get to move away from science fiction and get to go towards spooky season now.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's going to be terrible, here we go. We're going in spooky headlong season. Baby. Next week.
I'm excited for October. We have a good lineup for October.
Well,
not from next the Marvel week. Side, but from the opening and theater side.
The Exorcist, The Believer. 24% currently on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh my God, that's so bad.
We've made a huge mistake, John. And then we're probably going to do Saw 10 after that, right? Is that what we kind of came to the conclusion of?
Well, nothing else is releasing after that because Taylor Swift is in theaters.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and Saw 10 will definitely be there. So yeah, we'll probably do Saw 10 after that. I'm not going to watch the other 9 to prepare. I'm just going to assume I could figure it out once I turn it on. I'm sure I'll be fine. But yeah, so next week, Exorcist, The Believer, and The Avengers Age of Ultron.
I'm very interested. I have not watched this movie since it came out in theaters. It is quite maligned by the Marvel community and like MCU fans. I'm very interested to watch it again.
I have my hate and choose on, John. I am ready to go. It is written and directed by my man.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And by my man, I mean,
it's the last one. He doesn't get another one after this. So
it sends shivers down my spine just thinking about it.
I know.
He did write and direct it, right? I'm not making that up.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Now, are the Guardians in this movie or no?
No.
So why did they make this movie?
To introduce us to the Infinity Stones again.
And then, but is the Infinity Stones a thing in Age of Ultron?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the Infinity Stones will continue in Age of Ultron. Kind of.
Oh God.
They're relevant. We'll put it that way. Let's just say the studio made a certain scene have to be included in Age of Ultron. Let's see if you can figure out which one it is.
I'm sure I'll be able to figure it out pretty quickly. Anyway. Probably. All right. We'll see everybody next week. Probably Wednesday night again. I don't know, John. We didn't discuss it. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good to me.
Anyway, we'll figure it out, kids. But we'll see you. Thank you all for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Keep listening. I mean, go watch some horror movies. Go check out our list. We have both our Letterboxd stuff down at the bottom here in the description. Go check out our horror movie list. And if you haven't seen some of them, check them out. There's a lot of weird stuff John's got on his list that I'm excited to watch. Also, if you can stand subtitles, watch Audition and enjoy yourself. If you haven't seen Audition, that's another one I always forget to mention. It is one of the sickest movies you'll ever see in your entire life. Anyway, bye.